So today, I'm going to teach you how to pack a dishwasher. How many of you have a specific way of packing your dishwasher? Oh, yes. And woe betide anybody who packs your dishwasher for you and doesn't leave the right amount of space between the dishes. No, the dishes go there, the plates go there, the forks go there. Are we just a little bit anal about our dishwasher? It's a matter of control. There's some people very smugly sitting there going, I haven't got a dishwasher. I am free of that one, but let's talk about the washing machine, shall we? There's always something. There's always something. And today, I really want to get at the spirit of the law and the letter of the law and the relationship that God has invited us into. The relationship he invited us into when he called us by our names. This relationship. Because it's really different. And it's got freedom written all over it. So I've employed, for the sake of this evening, a beautiful assistant called Bimbi, who's going to read from Luke's Gospel for us. Thank you. It's quite a scene, isn't it? There's a similar story in Mark's Gospel. And this woman, 18 years, she's possessed by a demon, but it seems like she's been all bent down like this. There's no mention of any kind of demonic behavior other than the fact that she's bent down. So she's been coming to the synagogue like this every Saturday for 18 years. And then Jesus takes a look at her and he says, woman, your ailment is leaving you. It's gone. And she goes, all right then. Now, I don't know about, if that happened here, I'm fairly certain that there wouldn't be people in the room going, oh, you shouldn't do that on a Sunday. Shock horror. What are you doing? It's a Frankie Howard moment, those people in the room. Oh, Mrs. No, you don't go healing on a Sunday. And the one in Mark's Gospel is a similar kind of story. The guy's got a withered hand. You know, it's completely mangled up. This is one of these, like, in-your-face miracles. It's an in-your-face miracles. I'm really hanging out for some of those. I think I want to see a few more in-your-face miracles. Yeah, not ones where we can say, well, we can explain that by the molecular structure of such and such and such and such becoming such and such, and there's a sign. No. This guy with a withered hand, Jesus goes, stretch out your hand. He goes, oh, all right then. Oh, there it is. What's happened? And we're, you didn't ought to be doing that. It's a Sabbath, isn't it? We don't do it like that. Someone told me this fantastic story. I'm afraid it's against the Anglican Church. And having been brought up a Catholic, I'm quite happy to tell it. So it's the story of a more traditional church. And there was the procession that came in every Sunday, and right about, you'll have to crane your necks to watch this, but right about here, the people coming up on the left just did this little skip and walked up. Yes, every Sunday they came and they just, when they got here, a little skip. And it went on for years and years and years. And finally, people, you know, knew, a new vicar came along and he was very interested. Why? Because he got no theological basis for this whatsoever. Was it some tradition? What is it, some spiritual symbolism? Has there been a demon released there or something? What's going on? So he finds an older member of the church. You know the type. Someone who's been there for a very, very long time. Been coming here 70 years, man and boy. And he says, yes. He says, Ed used to sit there. He was quite a mischievous chap. And he thought it was very funny to stick his foot out and trip up the older boys as they went by. And so had begun a time-honored tradition of the little skip. Past Ed, who had long since stopped going to the church. See, I love tradition. I really enjoy a bit of tradition, and it is great. And we have a large family. We have 5 children. Not my fault at all. And that's a great opportunity to establish some of your own traditions. The things that we do at Christmas are really precious. And of course, we both come from large families. So I'm the youngest of 5, and Kath is the oldest of 5. And so we came from very, very different, financially, our families were quite different sides of the street. And our Christmas traditions were very different, both brilliant. Mine had far more alcohol in it, I've got to say, than Kath's. But they were both brilliant. But as we started then, we got to a point where we didn't really want to go there. We didn't want to go. Actually, we wanted to be our own family established tradition. I don't know why I told you that, but it seemed important at the time. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Because there are some things that we do week in, week out, which are brilliant. You know, the sign of peace. Do you have that as part of your liturgy, a regular part of your liturgy? It's something that I've grown up with, and I was always staggered by how much lighter I felt after that moment in the liturgy. I could be bored as you can be at church, but somehow I felt really good after the sign of peace. And I don't just think it's because it was quite near the end. Something breaks off in that tradition when you turn to each other and you say, "Peace be with you, the peace of Christ be with you." It's an authority and a power. So it's really, really good. So that's me being nice about tradition. Now I'm going to stir it up a bit. Stir it. What are you up to, Chris? What is this with the dishwasher? And it's this. You see, I've had a bit of a battle with these. I feel confident to say this now, I am a musician. My sister, who is like one of those paid musicians, Guildhall School of Music she went to, she tells me I'm very good. So I have to say, I'm very good. Okay. I can read music. So I can tell you that it's a C sharp, there are 2 C sharps, an octave apart. The upper note is 1 beat on the top line, and the lower note on the top line is 2 beats. Okay. A beat is, well, we talk about 1, 2, 3, 4. That would be 4/4. That's the time signature of that. Yeah? So the timing of the black notes at the top is da, 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 da. Okay? The 2 notes underneath them on the top line are da, da. See? It's good, isn't it? Okay. And we have rules about how many beats per minute. So we might do 60 beats per minute, which would be... That's 60 beats per minute. Okay? Music that's written at 60 beats and played at 60 beats per minute, particularly jazz, is found to improve cognitive working. So if you're working on your maths problems, as you do, jazz at 60 beats a minute, very good for it. My problem is that once I hear a song, I kind of want to, that's good. Let's see what we can do. If, you know that song, Good, Good Father? Yeah, that's in a time signature called 3/4. It's got that kind of. Was it 6/8? It's a bit of a waltzy thing. Dum 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 dum. Yeah, 1 2 3 4 5 6. 1 2 3 4 5 6. Yeah, so it's in 6/8, and I was at this church. We were on mission with Eastgate, and the drummer, I don't know what got into his head, but he starts in 4/4. 1 2 3 4. It's quite difficult, you see. I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you like, da, da, da. And you know, I thought they stopped the drummer and they all went to him, 1 2 3 4 5 6. But a bit of me was thinking, what a shame. Wouldn't it have been fun to see what happened? To see what happens. So now you know how I'm wired. You can console Kath. Because being married to me is not easy. It's not easy. But there's something I'd like to try and teach you. Occasionally, when I've been leading worship here, and it's been a real privilege. One, because you just sing, don't you? You get stuck in there and you sing and it comes at you and it's just brilliant. And sometimes I think, oh, I'm just basking it. It's lovely. It's great. But every now and then, you get a bit back in the dishwashery. And you grab hold of that song and you stick it on the rails. 4/4. And what I'd like to experiment with, because I did some work. You see, my sister, I think I mentioned, she went to the Guildhall School of Music. She's genius. She's really, really good. But we do some improvising together, which is brilliant fun. You know, if you, as a guitarist, to get to play with a violinist of that standard, who plays in orchestras all over Devon, is quite a privilege. I'm like, there, oh yeah, okay, I'll just play me 4 chords. But when it comes to improvising, she knots up a bit. She knots up a bit. So I say to her, you know, if you make a mistake, remember what you did, do it again, and it's jazz. You see? Because we can rip up the rule book a bit. And there is something about messing up the timing, messing up the beat. Let me give you a bit of an example. Because I think if we can do this and if we can practice it, we can work with Holy Spirit. It's a great place to practice hearing from God in a safe environment. It's even safer than prophesying out loud. It's what's God saying to you about the timing of it. And I'd really recommend you practice it in the shower or the bath. You know, with the shower gel in your hand, like a microphone. Nobody's looking. Or if they're looking, they're in a lot of trouble. So, Good Good Father is traditionally done at 70 beats per minute. And A should be 440 hertz. Do you see what can happen if you're not careful? I'm sorry, you're going to have to stop singing because that A wasn't 440 hertz. I think it was 441. Really, you shouldn't be doing that. Please, get a grip of yourself. No. So I'm going to just, it's called, when you see it on software programs that help you with music, it's called swing. Your plows. And it's really, it's the business of being late. It's good. And of course, you know, we know this about God, don't we? He's never late, but he cuts it fine, doesn't he? He does when you're waiting for him. So I kind of get in this space. This is what happens to me, and I really want to share this with you. Just this simple chord. On a guitar that has twice as many strings as it needs. There's the abundance of God right there. Are you feeling it? Are you can feel the unwinding. It's because I'm just a little bit late with each drum. Now you've got to promise me, when we start singing, don't grab hold of it. Be good. I heard a thousand stories. See what I did there? So we're going to try that, because normally we go, I heard a thousand. We're not going to do that, we're going to come in late. Are you ready? Come in late with me. We're going to be, oh, we're going to be fashionably late. I suggest that the secular and the sacred are not divided. I suggest that they're intertwined. One of the great privileges I had as a youngster was, although I wanted to be an engineer, and an aeronautical engineer, I was very, very interested in aeronautics, so I kind of went for the engineering A-levels. And a natural progression for that was to do a degree in theology. It's obvious, isn't it? Well, why wouldn't you? And there were a number of amazing people who taught me theology. And I happened to do some work on John's Gospel and sacraments in John's Gospel. And it was where I discovered that there wasn't really a divide that between the secular and the sacred, that they were connected. When you understand the heart of God, the Ten Commandments become a gift, not a burden. If you love God, of course you won't kill. It's not a command, it's a promise. Why would I want to? If I love God, I won't commit adultery. If I love God, I won't covet my neighbor's car. Working on that one. And so the Sabbath, if I know the heart of God, the Sabbath becomes a gift, not a burden. It's a gift. And that's what Jesus talks about. You see, when we bury ourselves in the rules, we get this kind of thing. I love this sign. Oh, yeah. Isn't that brilliant? This sign has sharp edges. That's all there is to the sign. This sign has sharp edges. And yet, health and safety is really, really important. It's saved thousands of lives, millions of lives. I know for a fact in the airline industry, there are certain things that your stewards, what are they called now? What are they called? The assistants in the air. We used to call them air hostesses because most of them were female. Those people, those lovely people, what are they called now? Flight attendants, thank you, it came in the end. There are things that they have to do. There are things that pilots have to do that are really quite annoying. There have been changes in protocol that are quite annoying. There are things that the engineering and the grounds crews have to do that just seem pointless and really annoying. And it's because somebody very clever has spotted the potential for a mistake. And everybody's cross with them because we now have to do this thing. And because everybody does this thing, nobody's died. So the poor soul who's put in place this routine gets no credit for the millions of lives that he's saved or she's saved. And it's something that we perhaps need to be aware of. We have it with our news. We tend to not notice when things are going right. And there are things that you do that are part of your habitual life that are really good. And they're bringing you close to God. He's so pleased with you for doing them. And you could spend a lot of time going around going, oh, I'm not doing this, and I need to be better at this, and I need to be nicer, and I need to, oh, I got really cross, and I need to be quieter in church, or I need to be noisier in church, or I need to prophesy more. But he's actually saying, well, wait. What about these habits that you have? I love it when you. Can you hear him say that? Can you hear him finish that sentence? I love it when you. When that habit is there. So Jesus talks about the Spirit of the Lord, because the Pharisees, they really, oh, it was heavy. It was heavy. If you were like a tailor, you couldn't carry your needle in your pocket on Friday night. Working. You couldn't drag a chair across the dirt. You had to pick it up, because if you dragged it across the dirt, it might leave furrows in the ground. That was ploughing. Overdoing it. And this whole thing built up around the law. And it got to the point where people needed a mobile phone. Really, you needed an online Pharisaic service so that you could check in the moment whether you were in danger of being in breach of the law. Good afternoon, Pharisaic Legal Services. Yeah, I'm sorry, you want to what? You want to cook some dinner? Yes, that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. It's going to say 4 hours to cook. No, I'm sorry, you can't do that. That will take you into the Sabbath. You won't be able to get it out the oven. I'm sorry, this service is suspended. It's the Sabbath. And for me as a child growing up, the Sabbath was a bit of a nuisance. Everything was shut. I didn't really do anything that was fun. But actually, you know, the Sabbath is this wonderful thing. So this sacramental theology, I'm going to explain a bit of a concept to you. I hope you'll bear with me. A sacrament is described as an outward sign of inward grace.
Okay. Ooh, that sounds good. Yep.
I can learn that. What's it mean? Well, we talk about when we receive communion, the outward sign is receiving bread and wine. And the inward grace is to receive in some way, I'm not getting into that argument, but to receive in some way the body and the blood of Jesus as he asked us to do. Sacrament. Okay? Outward sign, inward grace. And this image, there are loads of these. When you talk about Jesus being the bridge between the secular and the sacred, you get lots of these kind of things. There is a flaw in this particular picture. I've noticed that if the chap wanted to actually cross the bridge, there's a blooming great pillar in his way. Semantics. But I believe that if I was, I might get cast to do me a drawing. It should be the waters of baptism that fill that. Because you live, in heavenly places. You're there. Your spirit is communing with God. You have the Holy Spirit in you all the time. There's been a bit of an argument about how many sacraments there are. Churches, they love to find things to have a spat about, don't they? Are there? I think in the Anglican Church there are 3, Catholics have 7. Arguably more value for money. They have a bigger Bible too. They've got it all. But I wonder if we're asking the wrong question. When we're talking to God, you see, I think there are lots. And we know this. Someone this afternoon just prophesied. He gave us a word that was from God. Outward sign, inward grace. Heaven came into this church and was expressed out loud. You and I worshipped together. We agreed to do some things differently. We agreed to sing some words. We agreed to open our hands. Outward sign, inward grace. When you do this, when you pray, it's a sacrament, I believe. It changes everything. When you speak words, and we know this, when people speak the words, Jesus, come into my life. We're happy to believe that that changes everything. We're happy to believe that they become a Christian. That's a sacrament, isn't it? We are interacting with the spiritual all the time. We are interacting with the sacred because we are earthen vessels that contain the sacred. We hold Jesus. So how many sacraments are there? There are millions. They're going on all the time. Somebody smiles at somebody else, and heaven is made real and present in that moment. Somebody gives you a gift, heaven is made real in that moment. Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath. Interestingly enough, if you look at that reading in a bit more detail, you could argue that he doesn't heal the woman. He speaks the healing. He says, you are relieved of your suffering. So he might have got his lawyer involved and argued the case. All I did was put my hand on it. It doesn't say you can't do that on the Sabbath. And she got healed. But that's not the point. Because the Sabbath is about the kingdom of heaven becoming real. You see, for God, it's not, I don't work on the Sabbath, so you don't work on the Sabbath. It's, hey, people, you get awfully busy. I've been watching you. You get awfully busy. So, Saturday, as it was then, my day, I want you all to myself. Because I have called you by name. So I just want to sit with you. And the funny thing is, you know how you felt during worship? You have that feeling, don't you, when God, you feel that God's come into the room. You know how you felt then? That is how he wants you to feel all day on the Sabbath. But the thing is, I think because of Jesus and the new covenant, something else has changed. And I think that the Sabbath is meant to be in us every day. And here's why. The Sabbath got moved to a Sunday, didn't it? It was on Saturday, and now it's on Sunday. It got moved to Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on that day, so it seemed a good day to have a bit of a celebration. Yes, yay, party, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. We are Easter people. Did you know that? You don't look like Easter people right now, but you are Easter people. We are Easter people. We are Easter people. Not Easter bunnies, although might be fun. We are Easter people. What does that mean? That means that the resurrection lives in us every day. So, if we've chosen to tie the Sabbath to the resurrection, the Sabbath lives in us every day. Therefore, there is no secular sacred divide. We are called to be sacred every day. We are called to be sacramental people every day. We have the authority to wash up in the power of Jesus. We have the authority to pack the dishwasher in the name of Jesus. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. What if we could host the presence so much? What if we could be so good at it? Our Sabbath, because we are called by name, the people actually wanted to watch us washing up. Surely it can be done. If someone can say to a musician, I could watch you do that all day, I get such joy when you do that. And it's never about technical brilliance, is it? It's always about the heart. They carry something. They give something away. Can we not learn to wash up, to drive, to carry the kingdom every moment, to be Sabbath every day, to be in Sabbath, to be in Sabbath rest every day? Because we are a sacramental people. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness. And get, I love this phrase, and your gloom be like the noonday. Imagine that. Imagine that. And I'm looking at the married couples in the room. Okay? Think about your partner on their worst mood and that being like the noonday. But it's a promise. You see, he's not commanding us. He's inviting us. Because he's called us by name. Sabbath is your gift. I'm gifted to be, to have Sabbath. It's my calling. So, how do we do this? It's a tough gig, isn't it? How do we do this? How do we walk out of here and not be swearing at the next driver who cuts us up? God spoke, I'll tell you a little secret. God spoke to me about Spirit of the Law, Letter of the Law. Sometime ago, I went on a speed awareness course, voluntarily, of course. And the guy really struck into my heart, I have to say. He really, it was the best speed awareness course I've ever been on. Three. So, but I tell you, he got me, because I think of myself as a man of integrity. I think that integrity and love, they're my two core values, and I won't compromise on anything else. So I've got myself into serious hot water because I wouldn't compromise on the truth. And he asked us to get out our driver's license, and he said, whose signature is that on your driver's license? And we said, we all sat there.
Because we're like naughty boys and girls in this course, you know. Everybody's like really truculent. Anyway, he says, whose signature is that? And I said, that's mine. What does it mean? Well, it, so you know the driver's license is mine. He says, no. He says, you sign that because you agree to abide by the rules. And that got me. That got me. So woe betide you if you get behind me in a 20 mile an hour zone, because I'm like 20. That's it. But you know, there's the sacramental people. God convicted me on this question about if you get out of the car to explain someone the rules of the road because they've clearly got them wrong and they need help, if they do wind down their window, and if they do listen to you, you've probably got 15 seconds. In those 15 seconds, Chris, he says to me, what do you want them to know? Do you, A, want them to know how wrong they are and how much better a driver than them you are? Or B, that I love them more than they can possibly imagine? Try that next time someone cuts you up. I say, but you see where I'm coming from. That our heart to carry him wherever we go. I want to wrap up with a bit of worship. Oh, sorry, do apologize. If you call the Sabbath a delight, this is from Isaiah. If you call the Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, not going your own ways, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And look at this. I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Heaven. Heaven. The Sabbath is your delight. So how do we pack a dishwasher? With love and in freedom. With love and in freedom.